Hey, Chevra. So the last time we learned, we did this Mishnah that began on Chaf Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah speaks about if a person builds a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat, so it's going to be kosher, and you can go into it on Yontif. But if the sukkah is on top of a tree, so then you can't go into that sukkah on Yontif. And we discussed last time machlokes between Rashi and Tosis as to what exactly is the scenario. Are we talking about that the tree, so to speak, is the floor of the sukkah? Or are we talking about that the schach is supported by the tree? And there is a concern if the schach is supported by the tree, there is a concern that you might take your jacket or something and hang it on the schach. That's the way Tosis presented the sugya based on the parallel sugya in Maseches Shabbos. So that was an interesting conversation that we had last time. We also spoke about how the majority rules in terms of you have like three on three sides, if it's supported on the ground, one side on this tree, etc. That was all the conversation last time. Zakti Gemara, Chof Gimel Aleph. Mani Mas Nisim. Who is the author of our Mishnah? In other words, our Mishnah says that a sukkah on top of a boat is kosher. So who is the author? Sigmar says it's Rabbi Akiva. Titania, Ha'osa Sukkasa Barosh HaSvina. Rabbi Gamliel says it's not kosher. Rabbi Gamliel posel. Rabbi Akiva Machshir. So our Mishnah says it's kosher, goes according to Rabbi Akiva, meaning according to Rabbi Gamliel, the sukkah on top of the boat is actually going to be is actually possible. That's what we see. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, shayu bo'im b'sfina. Once upon a time, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva are on the boat. There's like dozens of stories in Shas about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. They always seem to be taking boat rides together. But once upon a time, they're taking a boat ride. Amid Rabbi Akiva va'asa sukkah b'rosh hasfina. So Rabbi Akiva goes and he builds a sukkah. He builds a sukkah on top of the boat. Lemachar, nashva ruach va'akrasa. So the next day, a wind comes and knocks it over. So Amelam Rabbi Gamliel, Akiva, heichan sukkascha. Right, this is the whole conversation. And Gamliel says, "Hey, Akiva, dude, where's your sukkah?" Right, that's the conversation. End of conversation. So now the Gemara analyzes this story. Right? Basically, Rabbi Gamliel says, "Where's your sukkah?" Apparently, Rabbi Gamliel is like, I can just imagine like the schoolyard kids, "Na na 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 na, where is your sukkah?" Right? I imagine that's like what Rabbi Gamliel is saying to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't answer. So now Abaye analyzes the situation as follows: Amar Abaye, "Dekuli alma hecha de'en yechol lamal beruach mitzuyah di'abasha." Lo klumhi. Everybody holds if the sukkah cannot stand with a normal wind, and by normal wind I mean ruach mitzuyah diabasha, that is not a sukkah at all. If it's yecholamel b'she'ena mitzuyah diabasha, klayim lo plegi. If it can resist a gust of wind, meaning a gust of wind on the ground, so then it's kosher. Keep pligi bi cholamod beruach mitzuya diabasha, ve'ena yecholamod beruach mitzuya diyam. That's the way we'll amend the text. Right? It can withstand a normal wind on regular dry land, but it cannot withstand a wind at sea or a normal wind at sea. Rabbi Gamliel says, "Suka diras keva be'inan bekeman de'en yichol lamal beruach mitzuya diyam la'ul klumhi." Rabbi Gamliel says that a sukkah has to be keva, and if it cannot withstand the wind at sea, it's not a good sukkah. Rabbi Akiva savar suka diras arai be'inan bekem di'chol lamal beruach mitzuya diabosha kshera. Rabbi Akiva says, "No, a sukkah is diras arai, and since it can withstand a wind on the ground, it is kosher." So this Gemara is really, really weird. Very weird. Rabbi Gamliel says the sukkah is not kosher. Rabbi Akiva says the sukkah is kosher. And Rabbi Akiva says, oh, the sukkah is kosher because it could withstand a wind on dry land. One second. Right now, is it on dry land? No, right now it's at sea. The wind at sea is always stronger than the wind on dry land. So who cares if it could withstand a wind on dry land? Right now, I'm not on dry land. Presumably, the halacha of a sukkah should depend on where you are. Right? If I build a sukkah, many buildings in Manhattan have like rooftop sukkahs, no? If I build a sukkah on top of my roof, and the sukkah can't withstand the wind on top of the roof, so you're going to tell me it's a good kosher sukkah because were the sukkah to be down like 70 floors beneath, like on ground level, it would be able to stand. Like, how does that make any sense? That because it could withstand a ruach metsuya of the yabasha, why on earth should Rabbi Akiva say that suffices? Tanya, it looked like you had a comment.
Yeah, I mean, so the fun thing, I mean, I'm new to halacha, but the fun thing that I'm noticing about halacha is we often have a contrast between formalism and metzias. So in this case, we've kind of created a standard for what a sukkah is, and that becomes like the formal definition of what a sukkah is. And so even if it doesn't match the metzias of what happens if it's on the yam, if it's on the dry land, we kind of have that standard, and it's like a halachic definition of what it means to be a sukkah.
So you are mamish a brisker, right? This is like, in other words, we're into klolim. There are formal rules, and they say that Reb Velvel Soloveitchik said this on, I don't have the sefer. There's a small sefer, Chidushei Hagriz on Maseches Sukkah. I happen not to own it. But they say that Reb Velvel said that like the din is a shiur in mechitza. Just like there's a height of mechitza, a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. There's also a shiur, like there's a measurement of how wind resistant the sukkah has to be.
I don't mean anything that fancy. I'm thinking of like klisheni emo mevasha. Like we just have these standards and it doesn't really matter what the metzias is. And I'm very flattered. I'm not lumpish enough to be a brisker, but I feel like we have this concept throughout halacha or whatever I've seen of it.
No, again, I think you're saying the same thing as I'm saying. I'm just kind of, apparently, it's very hard to understand, though. I mean, I think we can't ignore the fact that what we have over here is a sukkah that is going to get knocked over. So there are a few things to be said. When we talk about the strength of sukkah walls in terms of how resistant they have to be to wind, so the primary source of that, if you turn to Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah writes, if I make a sukkah and the trees are the walls of the sukkah, it's kosher. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that if it's a mechitza she'ein le'yechol olamud b'ruach metzuya, it's not a good mechitza. The definition of a mechitza is mechitza she'ein le'yechol olamud b'ruach metzuya. That's the Gemara on Chof Dalet Amud Beis. Now just contrast the lashon of the Gemara on Chof Dalet Amud Beis with our Gemara. Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, it's like a very terse sentence. Kol mechitza she'ein le'yechol olamud.
Gemara seems to qualify like lamod what? Either what kind of wind at sea versus a wind on like dry land?
Again, the Gemara is qualifying it where? Over here on Chaf Gimel or later on the Chaf Dalet Amud Beis?
On Chaf Gimel.
So on Chaf Gimel, the Gemara adds these variables about sea versus Land, that's what you're referring to, right? So that certainly is a distinction, right? And that's, the Gemara Chavtala Mebeis is like a categorical statement. If the mechitza cannot stand up to wind, it's not a good mechitza. Our Gemara gets into more detail. So that's one difference. But there's a more fundamental difference. You just have to read it very carefully.
We aren't concerned with the walls on our daf.
We are concerned with the walls, or we're not concerned with the walls?
We're not specifically concerned with the walls. We're concerned with the sukkah.
Right. In other words, on Chavdalet Amid Beis, the Gemara says, if the mechitza can't stand up to a normal wind. On Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, the Gemara that we just learned, the word mechitza does not appear. That's like a striking omission. Right? So what Zoe is saying, there used to be a yeshiva called OJ, and Rabbi Moshe Sosevsky was the Rosh Yeshiva. They said it's a small sefer on sukkah. He gave it out to all the Rebbeim and YU for free. I guess like not enough people wanted to buy it, so like we all got it as a free copy. So he has this deal that on Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, the Gemara does not say mechitza. Okay, great. And therefore, what are we talking about, Chav Gimel Amar Aleph? There's one other possibility. If it's not mechitza, the schach. And the lashon of our Gemara is akraso. Akraso might mean that it's not knocking over the entire sukkah. Akraso means that the schach is going to blow off. The suggestion is as follows, and I actually think there might be something to it. There is a halacha that the walls of mechitza have to resist the wind. And for that halacha, presumably they have to resist the wind wherever you are, whenever you are. But what about the schach? How strong does the schach have to be? So that's not at all clear from Chavdalet Amid Beis. It could be that what our Gemara is saying is that Rabban Gamliel says the sukkah is puzzle because the schach will come off and the schach cannot withstand a wind at sea. So it's puzzle. The schach is puzzle. Rabbi Akiva says, one second, you're right. If the walls can't stand up, it's not going to be kosher. But if the schach is there, one could argue that as long as the schach is on top of the sukkah, it's kosher. So right now at 9 o'clock at night, I'm sitting down at the sukkah and the schach is there. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, great, it's kosher now. So Rabbi Gamliel's question to Rabbi Akiva, he's like, nah, 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 where is your sukkah? Right? So Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to answer that question because Rabbi Akiva is going to say, we're not talking the same language. Where's my sukkah? When I was eating there half an hour ago, the schach was fine. And the walls are always fine. I don't know. He built powerful walls, whatever it is. So it could be that the Gemara on Chav Gimel Amid Aleph is not talking about walls at all. It's possible that the walls that were built were actually very strong walls. Now, the point that I'm a little not clear about is the Gemara connects this idea to a larger question of whether sukkah is diras kevar or diras arai. I'm not exactly sure how that fits into the miskeret. Zoe?
So I'm not sure that this is necessarily that, but a question that I then have is Rabbi Akiva, okay, assuming the scenario that you just said, which was what I was thinking might have been his question, if he's already had his meal for that day in the sukkah, and then the schach blows away, is he's saying that that was valid? Is Rabban Gamliel saying, no, it was never valid because it was always a possibility that the schach was going to blow away because we're at sea and you built it and that's crazy and it's it should be Dirat Keva, it should be something fixed for the duration, but then we're going to enter into the discussion of your sukkah. Does it need to be kosher for the all of Sukkot? In which case, this seems to be like no, you're putting yourself at risk that this is not going to be a usable sukkah for all of Sukkot.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand correctly, what you're trying to do is to ask how this connects to the next Gemara of a sukkah that has to stand for all 7 days. You're saying inevitably the sukkah is not going to last for all 7 days. So this should depend on the machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda.
Well, it seems to be framing it possibly in something connected. I mean, could we understand Rabban Gamliel's Dirat Keva to be like, it's Keva the whole time?
So you're saying that Dirat Keva means all 7 days?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's possible. It's just a little strange because then the Gemara should really link it to the next Machlokas Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda.
The whole story is a little strange. You got a guy building a sukkah on a boat.
You have a guy building a sukkah, but that's not so crazy. I'm on a boat. What am I going to do? I'm not going to have a sukkah? Like, that's inconceivable.
Isn't it building it like right at the very, I mean, it says the Rosh Svina. It says like
so
the
that's front, an important like, point. It seems like Rabbi Akiva builds his sukkah by Rosh Svina.
Yeah.
What did Rabbi Gamliel do about a sukkah that year?
He said he was exempt. He's on a boat.
It could be he's exempt. He's on the boat. Or it could be that Rabbi Gamliel built a sukkah, but he built it. I forgot the terms like for different parts of the boat, but he built it.
I know these.
What's the area that's lower down on the boat as opposed to the area that's high up? There is a area that's.
Well, you'd have to build it somewhere that you're still going to get sun, though. So it has to be like,
again, but
I mean, like on the deck. Like if you're building it right at the very front of the boat, you're going to get tons of wind. If you're building it like on a deck, or at least it's a little bit lower, you're going to get less wind.
Right. So maybe that's the idea that Rabbi Gamliel said. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel is building the sukkah lower down, and Rabbi Akiva is trying to make a point, and he's building his sukkah b'Rosh HaSvina. But be it as it may, I think what our Gemara is getting at is that according to Rabban Gamliel, because there is a likelihood that the wind will blow the schach off, it is never a kosher schach. It's never a kosher sukkah. Rabbi Akiva is saying, no, right now it is a kosher sukkah, so now it's going to be okay. The next Gemara that talks about a sukkah that is usable for 7 days or not usable for 7 days, we're also discussing entering the sukkah or not entering the sukkah. We're not talking about when the schach will blow off or won't blow off. Right? We're not discussing when the schach will not remain. We're talking about whether I can enter the sukkah, it's on an animal, I'm not allowed to climb on animals, or Shabbos, and Yontif, etc. But it's entirely possible that schach is like bracketed, and it's a totally different conversation than everything else. Now, I'm not really happy with this, just because I don't know how it fits in with Diras Keva and Diras Arai, which in the rest of the Masechta means the walls of the sukkah, no? On Daf Beis, a sukkah over 20 amos is because it's Diras Keva. Those are halachos in the walls. And now we're using it about the schach. So I'm not fully happy with it. But I do like this point that our Gemara is not talking about the walls. Our Gemara is talking about the schach. And the walls are, that's a different sukkah. I like it, but it requires a little more work. But halacha lemaisa, you know, this idea that because the sukkah could withstand the normal wind on ground level, it's going to be kosher. Rebbe Yoshev apparently said, you know, these new Mishnah Berurahs that have like the Dirshu notes. So they quote, the Rebbe Yoshev said that a sukkah on top of the roof of a building is going to be kosher as long as it can withstand a normal wind at ground level. I don't get it. Like the whole thing is going to blow away. I don't really understand the scenario, but okay, we're doing the best we can. I don't fully get this Gemara. There is a discussion in the Tosfos that we, we'll just talk about like for 30 seconds. We encountered this earlier. There was a version in the Gemara that not only are we talking about Rosh HaSfina, but we're also talking about Rosh HaAgola, the sukkah on top of a wagon. And the same issue might apply, because when the sukkah is on a wagon, because the wagon is moving, it's more likely that the wind will blow over the sukkah. So it could be it's the same issue. So that's why Tysus over here says some people have the girsa Berosh HaAgola. Right? Rabbi Nutan doesn't have the girsa, but some people have the girsa. That's the issue that Tosis raised. There is a Prima Godem who writes that a sukkah on top of a wagon, even if it's kosher, is not going to be kosher while the sukkah is moving, while the wagon is moving. He says that there's no such thing as a moving sukkah. The boat halachically is not considered moving. The halacha views a boat, like the boat is stationary and the water is moving underneath the boat. Why we would say this, I don't know. The ground is not station. The ground is stationary and the wagon moves. The boat, right, is stationary and the ground moves. It's not like the road doesn't move. The wagon moves. I don't know why we make these assumptions, but the Prima Godem has this idea, which no one seems to understand. Everyone completely rejects it. But the Prima Godem says that a sukkah on top of a moving wagon is possible. Okay. Deep breath. Should we start the next piece of Gemara, or is the chever who has anything to add here? Okay. I guess we should go weiter. O agabe gomel, if I build a sukkah on top of a camel. Zok de Gemara, masnis nani Rabbi Meir hi. Ditanya ha'osa sukkas agabe behema. Rabbi Meir says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says it is possible. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. How come Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah on top of an animal is possible? So Amar kro chag ha'sukkos tassel ha'shivas yomim. Sukkah ruya l'shiva shma sukkah, sukkah sh'in ruya l'shiva lo shma sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda says that sukkah has to last for 7 days. And therefore, the sukkah on top of an animal, the sukkah on top of a camel, is not a sukkah ruya l'shiva. Rabbi Meir says, no. Hanami mid oraisa michsa chazya, rabbonon huda gazruba. So there is a machlokes, Reb Yehuda, Reb Meir, whether a sukkah on top of an animal is kosher. Reb Yehuda says a sukkah has to last for 7 days, so the sukkah on top of the animal is no good. Rabbi Meir says, no, Reb Yehuda, you're wrong. What exactly is Reb Meir saying? Hello, Dr. Lang.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. I think what Rabbi Meir is saying is that dioraita, the sukkah, would be acceptable, but we've put in a gezera, as stated in the Mishnah, that you can't get in it and Yom Tov, so therefore you can't actually use it, but dioraita would be fine.
In other words, Rabbi Meir is saying that when Rabbi Meir agrees to the principle that a sukkah has to be Ru'uya L'Shiva, but what Rabbi Meir is saying is, no, this is Ru'uya L'Shiva. In other words, Rabbi Meir is saying that the Isser D'Rabbanon on using a sukkah on top of an animal, the Isser D'Rabbanon on climbing, etc., the Isser D'Rabbanon of climbing on an animal does not make the sukkah not Ru'uya. That's one way of learning it. Many Mefarshim say it that way. Many Mefarshim say it this way. Rabbi Yosef Engel says it. The Ritva seems to imply that this is the pshat. I think that it's certainly a very smooth read of the Gemara. The Rabbi Meir agrees that sukkah has to be Ru'uya l'shiva, but since min ha-Torah it's Ru'uya, that's good enough. It's also possible, though.
Engel? Sorry, who's Rav Yosef Engel?
Oh, Rav Yosef Engel was a Galitzianer Goyin Olam. Galicia was like a certain area of Poland. They had a style of learning, like they just knew everything. And what's like the yeshiva Schachme Lublin was a Galitziana yeshiva. It's Hasidish, dripping bikiyos, like knows everything. Rabbi Yosef Engel, how's it go? Yeah, my father's Rebbe was Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, who was the chief rabbi in Montreal. So Rav Hirschsprung once said that Rabbi Yosef Engel gave a hesped for Rav Meir Arech, who was another Galatziana Gadol. And the hesped was, he had 70 reasons why Chacham is Adaf Minavi, and he tried to quote all the Gemaras that prove this, and to say that Rav Meir Arech is a Chacham and he's great even in the... That's his hesped. Just quoting 70 different Gemaras. Like, that's their style of learning. Okay. It's a different style. Rabbi Yosef Engel has, like, encyclopedic work. It's called, like, the Beis HaOtzer. He also has a small book called Gilyonei HaShas, like his notes on the side of the Gemara. This point comes from the Gilyonei HaShas, and he references that there's a Taisus HaRashin, Brachas Chaf Gimel, who discusses that Eino Ro'oi on the level of Drabunah doesn't make Eino Ro'oi on the level of Dairais, and he just goes on and on and on with, like, dripping Bikiyas in this approach. Okay, grand. It's a nice approach. I think it's the standard approach to learn this Gemara, etc. There's, however, another way to explain Machlokas Remain Reb Yehuda as follows. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach one got the Shaila at one point, I think during the Gulf War, so people were told that you should not be outdoors. Like, they're shooting Scud missiles, whatever, you have to be inside. Is your sukkah Eina Ru'uya L'Shiva? Because you're expecting a missile to come, and you have to be indoors. In other words, it's not likely during a war. It's like almost impossible the sukkah is going to last for 7 days without an air raid. Does that make your sukkah Eina Ru'uya? So Reb Shlomo Zalman had the following suggestion. He says, no, maybe Eina Ru'uya is only because the sukkah itself is not Ru'uy. But if there's some external factor that makes it Eino Ro'oi, like Scud missiles, so that is considered a Sukkah Ru'uya L'Shiva. I think that's a reasonable approach. So then he argues as follows, that maybe that's the Pshat in Reb Meir. When Reb Meir... You're Jasmine, yeah?
Yeah, I was going to ask a question about that. So... if that's the argument that it's not really about something intrinsic to the sukkah, it's about the like external circumstances, wouldn't a sukkah being on the rooftop of the 70th building versus a sukkah being on the ground level also fall under that? That it's not anything about the construction of the sukkah itself, it's just the external factor of how high up you are and how much the wind is blowing at it.
So, yes, I'm willing to say that. That would involve the issue that we got stuck on a few minutes ago in terms of how come the Gemara does not connect the previous sugya about the sukkah on the boat with this sugya about the sukkah for 7 days. Logic would have it that there's a real connection. So, yeah, right now, right, you're good, but inherently within 7 days is going to be some wind, right? I think we had this conversation before. I don't know how come the Gemara does not connect these sugyas. If it would be up to me, I would say, especially based on this idea of an external factor. But it's possible that Rabbi Meir would say as follows. I think Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying as follows. If the sukkah itself would collapse within 7 days, I don't know if you remember, there used to be a TV show when I was a kid, Inspector Gadget, that like this note will self-destruct. So if the sukkah is going to self-destruct within 7 days, everybody's going to hold that sukkah is possible. Rabbi Meir is going to say that no, the sukkah as a sukkah, meaning the walls of the sukkah, the schach of the sukkah, that is the sukkah itself. That's going to last for 7 days. There's an external factor, namely that this sukkah is built on top of a camel. But we could argue that a sukkah on the camel is not fundamentally different than the sukkah when the missiles are flying. That's the idea that Reb Shlomo Zalman suggests. I think it's actually creative in the Gemara. I think it's a creative approach. Would I say that this is pshat? Absolutely not. But I do think that there is a certain degree of creativity, and I like creative ideas. So that's the first point I wanted to make. Now, why is this sukkah not ru'uya l'shiva? The sukkah on the animal, why is it not ru'uya l'shiva? Rachel?
She says you can't access it on the first night because it's Yom Tov, and there's a
because you can't be in the sukkah the first night because it's Yom Tov, and you can't climb on an animal on Yom Tov. But who says that?
Rashi,
right? Rashi is saying, actually, if we read the Rashi precisely, saying that he's saying that once the Chachamim say you can't climb on an animal, so the sukkah is not ru'uya liyom rishon. Rashi doesn't say l'layla rishon. He says liyom rishon. But he probably means the first night. Right? Obviously, the first night of sukkahs has a heightened level of the mitzvah of sukkah. The first night of sukkahs, the mitzvah of sukkah, you have to eat in there. I used to always love this as a kid. Oh, you get to wait until midnight. Like, it's so much fun, like, for the rain to stop. Right? This is like every kid's dream, to stay up late. That's technically the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to wait up to see. Even in the first night of sukkahs, even if it's uncomfortable, you have to sit there. The only time you have a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah that you can't get out of is the first night of sukkahs. The rest of Yom Tov sukkah is contingent. If I happen to want to eat, I have to be in the sukkah. But if I decide I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat hamotzi, right? So, by all means. So, Rashi is talking about the first day of Sukkot, the first night of Sukkot. The Ritva writes that it's a sukkah that's not ru'uya l'shiva, because every time you have a Shabbos that comes out in the middle of Sukkot. That's what the Ritva comments. Did any of you have a chance to read the Ritva?
What Rachel and I thought was weird about it was the Mishnah was explicit that it was Yom Tov. So the Ritva mentioning Shabbos seemed strange.
Right. In other words, it says in Olin Lo B'Yom Tov or Olin Lo B'Yom Tov, and the Ritva says, "Oh, we're talking about Shabbos, not Yom Tov." Right. I mean, that's certainly strange. And you have to ask why he would do this, right? L'chor, I'm not allowed to climb on an animal on Yom Tov, the same as I can't climb on an animal on Shabbos. So this one is a little bit hard to unpeel. But the Aruch Laner has the following suggestion, which I hope I'm saying it over accurately. The Aruch Laner suggests that the Isser of climbing an animal on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Gemara in Beitza has an expression that's a davar shu mishum shvos. It's an Isser Drabbanan. One could argue that perhaps the Isser Drabbanan is relaxed in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah. Right? One could argue, and one could argue that the gezeira of not climbing trees and not riding animals may be b'mako mitzvah lo gazru. Yes, there are certain things that they make a gezeira b'mako mitzvah, but some of them they don't make the gezeira. So perhaps it doesn't apply. Laila Rishona is the only time, though, when there's really a mitzvah. We could argue that the rest of Yontif, there's no mitzvah at all. You don't have to be in the sukkah. You don't have to eat. So therefore, the Rashi has his comment about only the first day, because what? Rashi's assuming, let me say this properly. He's understanding that according to Rashi, it would be forbidden to climb the animal, to climb on the animal, even the first night of Yontif, even though by not climbing the animal, I'm not going to get the mitzvah d'oraisa of sukkah. But perhaps the Ritva argues, and the Ritva is saying, no, I'm not talking about the first night of sukkahs. The first night of sukkahs, of course, you would climb the animal to get the mitzvah of being in the sukkah. Rather, I'm talking about the rest of Yontif. But in order to make that point, the Ritva says, oh, I'm talking about a Shabbos, which always happens in the middle. I don't know.
It doesn't work with the Mishnah.
What?
It doesn't work with the Mishnah.
It doesn't work with the Mishnah because the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to go on Yontif. Right? I think this is the same point you just made a few minutes.
I know, but I'm bothered by it more now that you've framed the Orach Haner.
Right, but if it's a Derabbanan, in the Mitzvah, in the Mishnah, it's also a Derabbanan. So if we're saying like you don't do this, l'chaktila, you do not do this, but like Bediyeved, this is the only opportunity you have to be in a sukkah. So that in that case, do we then say this Derabbanan Gezera we ignore because this is the only opportunity to do this mitzvah on the evening you need to do the mitzvah?
Right, so that's the question. In other words, that Gemara in Beitza, right? One second.
I think it's 5-3.
It's where?
It's a 5-3.
What's a 5-3?
The Mishnah with Shvut.
Oh. Okay. I know the Dapim, I think it's Lamed Vav or something, right? Like when you learn Mishnayis, you say 5-3 or whatever. When you, in Gemaras, you have. It's Beitza 36b, Daf Lamed Vav of the Beis, 5-3 for those of you keeping score at home. So the Mishnah says that things which are Misham Shvus, Misham Rishus, Misham Mitzvah, so you can't do on Yontif. Examples, don't climb trees, don't ride animals, don't swim, don't dance, right? Don't clap your hands, right? You can't judge, you can't get married, you can't do chalitza, right? These are all the things which are called Mishum Shavos. And then the Gemara explains all of them, right? Why? The reason I can't do it is because I can't climb a tree because I might pull off a branch, etc. This is what we know. Some of these cases would be permitted by Makom Mitzvah. You get an impression, the Gemara says that you can't get married on Yontif. And the Gemara establishes all the cases that you're ready, that the man already has two children, already fulfilled Puruvu. The Gemara is leaving open the possibility that if it's a real mitzvah, we will allow marriage on Yontif. Some of these cases, it's going to be mutter. Again, it's not clear which cases are mutter, right? Which time, sometimes we say the hamidu divrehem b'makom mitzvah, sometimes we say lo hamidu divrehem b'makom mitzvah. Sometimes the gezeret rabbanon makes it that I can't fulfill the mitzvah at all, sometimes it doesn't. What the Orach Haner is suggesting, and again, Tanya says, well, it's obviously against our Mishnah, so that's something that we'll have to, thank you. The Aruch Haner is saying. But what the Aruch Haner is suggesting is that maybe there's a machlokas about whether this gezerah of not climbing trees would apply b'makom mitzvah. Some of these things don't apply b'makom mitzvah. Again, some of the poskim say that although I'm not allowed to clap and dance, etc., the heter that we have for clapping and dancing on Simchas Torah is that b'makom mitzvah they didn't make it usher. There are certain openings in this Mishnah in Beitza, which is the source of like 25 different dinim. There are certain openings to say that b'makom mitzvah it's going to be okay. Again, the Aruch Meir is kind of just throwing this idea out there, but it is a possible read. Again, I'm not sure. Now, let's just take another deep breath over here. Let's go back. Rabbi Yehuda says that the sukkah is no good because the sukkah has to be ru'uya l'shiva. A sukkah on an animal is not ru'uya l'shiva. Rabbi Meir says the sukkah is good because it is considered ru'uya l'shiva. Right? That's what we said. Why don't I say something better in light of the previous Gemara and in light of Shita of Rabbi Yehuda throughout the Masechta? Rabbi Yehuda perhaps is l'shitaso. Namely, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah is diras keva. Diras keva means the sukkah has to last for 7 days. It's entirely possible that Rabbi Meir fundamentally holds that a sukkah does not have to be ru'uya l'shiva. Right? Rabbi Meir might hold that because a sukkah is diras arai, so it doesn't have to last 7 days. Again, what basically, just to summarize what I've said so far, there are three approaches to explain the Machlokas Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Approach one and approach two are saying that Rabbi Meir acknowledges that a sukkah that cannot last for 7 days is pasul. But, right, maybe since min ha-Torah the sukkah is good, that's okay. That's the simple read of the Gemara. The more razzle-dazzle read of the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Meir, it's okay because we view it like it's an external factor, like it's the missile. That was the second approach. The third approach, which I would say is the most likely just in the abstract, but my Gemara doesn't seem to say it, that third approach says, well, you know what? Maybe Rabbi Meir denies the need for a sukkah to last for 7 days. Rabbi Meir holds, right? Throughout, Tanya's going to say the words don't mean that.
Exactly. Thank you.
Right? Yes, I can read your mind, right? But it is possible that Rabbi Meir is saying that a sukkah does not have to last for 7 days because a sukkah is diras arai, not diras keva. And what he means when he says that min ha-Torah, it's good, meaning that on the level of d'oraisa, the sukkah doesn't have to last because it's diras arai. There's a din d'rabbanon, according to Rabbi Meir, that a sukkah should last for 7 days. But since that din is a din d'rabbanon, so therefore, in the face of that din d'rabbanon, they didn't say that the isser of climbing on an animal impacts on that din d'rabbanon. Let me say this again.
You did a very creative read there. That's not a pshat read, right? You made the gzeira rabbanon about the 7 days and not about the olin.
Exactly. Or I'll say it differently. I'll say that that the din of olin is an isser d'rabbanon clearly. What Rabbi Meir is going to say is that the Isser D'Rabbanon of climbing onto an animal doesn't impact on this Din D'Rabbanon that a sukkah has to last for 7 days. The third approach, again, Tanya could always get me on saying that I'm not reading the words properly. And yes, that certainly is possible. I think this is one of the things that came up in that Friday night conversation in Boston in terms of the difference between like the shirim to the men and the shirim to the women. The guys like are fine. Like you want to say this type of idea, they're like, okay, they'll just take the notes or whatever. And Tanya's there and she's like, one second, like it don't mean that. And yeah, right? Absolutely.
We ask for more pictures.
You ask for more pictures, right? We discussed that as well. But I happen, again, if you would have asked me, you would just present to me the facts that there's a machlokas from Mei and Rabbi Yehuda about does a sukkah have to last for 7 days? I would say, sure. Rabbi Meir holds a sukkah has to last for 7 days because by definition, according to Rabbi Meir, sukkah is diras keva. And Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah has to last for 7 days because it has to be diras keva. According to Rabbi Meir, it's diras arai. That's what I would say initially without like getting into it. And you know what? Maybe that's pshat in the Gemara also. Maybe what Rabbi Meir is saying is that the sukkah is kosher, even though there's an animal and you can't climb the animal on Yontif. The answer is min ha-Torah, it's a good sukkah, meaning min ha-Torah diras arai. So the sukkah doesn't have to last for 7 days. Rabbanan hu degazru ba in the double sense. The rabbi said that the sukkah has to last for 7 days. And the rabbi said, you're not allowed to climb animals. And you know what? That din derabbanan of not climbing animals won't impinge on the etc. That won't take away the fact that min ha-Torah, the sukkah is kosher, even though it does not have to last for 7 days. That's the way I would like to read this. Okay. Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. I have two questions.
Yes.
The first is, do we see Shvut on the same level as a Gezera? Like, are these equivalent issers?
So again, the Gemara in Beitza says Mishum Shavus, right? That's the expression in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says the reason is Gezera Shema Yitlosh. Right? So the Gemara is using Shavus in certain areas of halacha, we distinguish between Yisurim derabbanan and Gezeiros derabbanan. In this Gemara here, we're kind of using them interchangeably. Yeah.
Okay. And then my second question is, would we say, like, is Dirat Keva somehow derabbanan as well?
According to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the din of a sukkah. As we do eskav, that's the din of
Arisa. But does he understands that to be Arisa. And then, but then Arai, is that like, how, are they fundamentally disagree on Diaraita, what the sukkah needs to be? Or is there somehow like another layer to that where we understand the transitory nature of the sukkah as being derabbanan?
I think there's a machlokas on the level of Doraisa that Rabbi Yehuda on the level of Doraisa says a sukkah has to be diras keva. And the Gemara had a whole bunch of applications of this diras keva principle and Dav Zayin, right? But that seems to be on the level of Doraisa. Rabbi Meir and most Tanoim assume that no, a sukkah is diras arai. There's another halacha that a sukkah has to last for 7 days. Is that connected to the machlokes diras keva and diras arai? Our Gemara seems to say that they're not connected. We're trying to put them together. Again, we're adding, there's like a missing, forget a sentence, there's like a missing chapter, right? The way I'm trying to read this Gemara, but okay.
Right. Yeah. But like, is it significant that they're using Rabbi Yehuda here, who like famously is the guy with diras keva for the sukkah?
I mean, I think it's significant. That's my inclination. I'm just saying, like, if you would have asked me, that's what. Okay, let's just do another brief point over here. The Tosfos al gabei behema. They make a sukkah on top of an animal, so there is a machlokes Reb Meir and the and Reb Yehuda. Is it kosher? So what's the scenario? So Tosfos quotes a pirusha kuntris. Nasan de lasos al beis susim liyosim karkayis hasuka va'asalamayla mechitos v'sikeich Rabbi Yehuda posel etc. Right. In other words, according to Rashi, the scenario is that you have two animals, and you put a board on top of the two animals. I guess you have to hope that the animals walk in step. And that's your sukkah. The floor of your sukkah is the floor of your sukkah is the board on top of the animals. It's a little difficult. Again, maybe Tanya will like this question, because the Mishnah says al gabe behema, one animal, and according to Rashi, there are two animals. Right? According to Rashi, you are supporting the board with two separate animals. Okay. Zaktaisvis. Mikan kashal appears hakuntras demasnis and dela el. Gabe samach sukasa bekar e hamita. Kidaprecious wa'el. This is difficult on the earlier Rashi that we learned last week. Okay, does anyone want to take a stab about how this is difficult on the earlier Rashi?
So the earlier Rashi had to do with the sukkah that you make using the bed frame, right?
Using the bed frame or using... Or in the tree, or in the tree.
We thought it was Hamita on Kaf Aleph on the Beis.
Kaf Aleph on the Bet on the Mita, which Rashi?
Sorry, Aleph. We thought it was on Aleph.
Kaf Aleph on the Aleph.
Yeah. The last Rashi on the page.
Kaf Aleph.
Did we have the wrong Rashi?
Oh, Kaf Aleph. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't see on Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph. I see on Chaf Aleph on the Bet, right? Samach Sukkato Bekar Ehamita.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Like Chaf Aleph on the Bet, that I support the sukkah on the bed frame.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara, if you remember, has that the sukkah is supported by the bed frame, and there are two explanations as to why Rabbi Yehuda would say it's no good. One explanation is the fancy one called Maimed, and the other explanation is called Ein Lakeva. And we had a number of different comments on what Ein Lakeva means. Ein Lakeva, according to Rashi, means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sukkah has to be Diras Keva. So if that's the case, so Tosis asks, Umihu Kasha, by the middle of that Tosis on Chaf Aleph on the Bet, Umihu Kasha, that Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah on an animal is no good because a sukkah has to be there for 7 days. How come we need to say that new reason? Typically, because the sukkah is on an animal and it's not keva. Right? In other words, Tosis is really asking Arkasha that if Rashi on Chaf Aleph on the Bet is correct, that Ein Lo Keva means that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Sukkah has to be Dirat Keva, and therefore, if you support the Sukkah on the bed, it's Ein Lo Keva. So if that's the case, so I should say on Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph, that the sukkah is no good because ein la keva, because it's a movable thing. But Chaf Aleph on the Bet is a sukkah that's leaning against the wall. Or a sukkah, right? It's leaning against the bed. So Rashi says, oh, that's ein la keva. And Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah has to be dirat keva. Why is it ein la keva? Because it can move away. Well, if that's the case, an animal should be no good also because it can move away. And that would be Ein Lo Keva. This question forced Tosfos on Chaf Aleph on the Beis to reinterpret Ein Lo Keva in that Gemara, that Ein Lo Keva means that the that you need 10 tefachim on top of that you need 10 tefachim on top of the bed. Okay, that's the way Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi on Chaf Aleph. But Tosis is saying, our Gemara is telling me that a sukkah on an animal is no good because I'm not allowed to climb on an animal on Yom Tov. Why don't I just say that's no good because it's Ein Lakeva? Rather, Zoktaisis, Ein Lakeva does not mean something that moves. Right? That's what Tosis asked on Rashi earlier. Now, Tosis therefore goes on and he says, you know what? Some explain that our case really is keva, but it's on top of an animal, because what you have is you have schach that is on the side. You see, I have to at least do one picture. Maybe the scenario is like this, right? I have schach that's supported, and I have my animal, right? I have my animal underneath the schach. Let's say this would be too high, but this is my animal. So in this case, the schach is keva. Keva might mean that it's not keva, excuse me, if the schach moves. In this case, the schach is not moving. You have an animal that you're going to climb on in order to get the mitzvah sukkah, but the schach is stationary. That's what Tosa said off. Again, I have the feeling I'm not saying it clearly, so let me try to repeat it. Rashi's understanding on Chaf Aleph on the Bet is that if it's Ein Lakeva, in the sense of if I have a sukkah that's leaning against the bed, if this is a bed and the schach is leaning on the bed, that's not good because it might move. So Tosis asks, one second, Rashi, if you're telling me that's not keva because it might move, so then a sukkah on an animal also by definition is not keva. So therefore Tosis uses our Gemara here to reject Rashi's comment earlier on Chaf Aleph on the Bet. The Yesh Mefarshim, Tosis says, there are some who explain, the case over here is not that the schach is moving on top of the animal, because if that's the case, we should say that it's no good because ein lakeva. Rather, the case is ella hemid suka al dalad kundesim. I have the schach supported by four posts, and behichnas shom behema va'asa alaha karki inta u'mechitzoteha ad l'schach. The schach is stationary, but I have an animal in the middle, and somehow I have like walls on top of the animal, but the schach is not moving. It could be that when, in defense of Rashi, who on Chaf Aleph says that Ein La Keva means that if it moves, it is not called Keva, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's no good. Tosis says, maybe our Gemara can work within Rashi, because our Gemara is not talking about the schach moves. Our Gemara means the schach is stationary, but you have an animal underneath that stationary schach. That's the idea that Tosfos is developing. Again, it's like a funny Tosfos. He says, oh, I used our Gemara to prove that Rashi was wrong, but Yesh Mefarshim, there are some who interpret our Gemara and defend Rashi. There are some who say that what our Gemara means is that the schach, in fact, is stationary. And Ein Lakeva, which is a problem according to Rashi, means when the schach moves. Okay. If that's the case, of course, this would go back to the question we asked when we read the Gemara. Right, we have a machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about a sukkah on top of an animal. So we ask, why don't we just say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's no good because sukkah is dirat keva, and on top of the animal, it's not keva. The answer is what we just saw in Taisus. The answer is that no. When I say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah has to be dirat keva, that means the schach has to be keva. And in our case, the schach is... One second. You can't say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's no good because the sukkah does not have keva, because in this case the sukkah does have keva. Keva in the sense that the schach lasts where the schach is stationary. That's what Tosis is saying. There's a new halacha that we're coming up with called Chag HaSukkot, that the sukkah has to last for 7 days. But the regular din of kavua would not apply, because this is considered kavua for Rabbi Yehuda, since the schach is stationary. Okay, I see too many blank stares, but that could mean because it's late. It could mean because none of this is clear, or it could mean many things. Okay, it could mean that we should just wish everyone a good Shabbos.
Back to the Sfina one, like if we're going to define keva, it works, because then on the Sfina, the schach moves also.
Correct. On the Sfina.
And we're going to assume that Rabbi Yehuda says all of these things, like the agala, and all of these would be possible because
again, the schach is moving. I think that's what Tosas is saying for Rashi. Yeah, that whenever the schach moves, it's no good. Again, you raised the point that in the previous Gemara about the boat, we don't invoke Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Right? In the previous Gemara, we only have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel. I mean, that question, I don't think, we've been dealing with that question all night. I don't think we have a satisfactory answer. Okay, Chevra. Let me wish you a good Shabbos, and thank you for coming to learn, and Yashar Koach. Next week, again, I mentioned I might not be able to give a shiur, or as of now, it looks like I won't be able to give shiur. So we'll figure it all out. Okay, Chevra, have a good night. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.